Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
Now, the reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning and welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Friday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show. This morning is Jace and our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, and Angler U. All right, let's get to the old weather this morning. 78 degrees down on the island, feels like 79. Can you believe that? It's November and the lows are that high. Well, mainly cloudy today, peaks of sunshine possible. That's possible. Stray shower, thunderstorms possible also. And east winds 10 to 20 with a high of 81 degrees today in Galveston. That rain chance looks like it's about 24%, whatever that means. But tonight, rain chances pick up. Showers and scattered thunderstorms with a low of 73. East-northeast winds 10 to 15. At rain chance tonight, 80%. And then for tomorrow, thunderstorms in the morning, then skies turning partly cloudy later in the day. Very warm again, high of 78, north-northeast winds 10 to 20. That rain chance tomorrow is 60%. So more good chances of rain here to kind of wet us down a little bit. It was dry for a long time, so we'll welcome a little rain. No problem with that. Looking at tides for today. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have two tides. We've already had a high. That was at 12:38 a.m. It was a 1.7 at the Galveston Channel. And then our low today is at 2:36 p.m. It's an 0.2, so it's a pretty good outgoing today. 6:38 a.m. is sunrise, and 5:28 p.m. is sunset. And for you hunters this morning, 6:08 a.m. will be shooting time. And the moon phase right now is 33%. Headed towards our next full moon. All right, looking around the complex here, looks like San Luis Pass, it's east at about 10, and Galveston's North Jetty looks east-southeast at about 17. Eagle Point, it's east at 15. Morgan's Point, east at 13. And the old rollover site, east at 15. That's sustained, so a little bit of wind this morning, but nothing like they called for yesterday with those higher gusts, but it's fishing. It's the outdoors. All right, well, Speaking of outdoors, let's run over to the Tri-Bay area and check on the outdoors in the Hammers neighborhood over there. Captain Glenn Hammond. Glenn, what's up this morning, bud?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. The wind is blowing pretty good over here this morning.
A little breezy. A little bit of breeze.
It is. And the tide's still up in the yard, not near as bad as it was last week when we got the wind switch and everything started kind of backing down a little bit. But we're still having bull tides up in the yard every night. It's coming on in.
That's
we had
good
a
for
last
some, not good for you, but good for others.
The last time I talked to you, I was in a tent out at the ranch, and we went out that morning. Well, we got ready to go out that morning. By the time we got ready to go hit the stands, the wind was already blowing about 25 miles an hour. And we just blew it off. We wasn't mad at them enough. We had a few chores to do, so we did that. Just kicked around and did some chores out there, and came on back home. Never even made a shot. Seen a couple of deer
for anybody.
The deers we seen were all laying on the ground. They're bedded down. They don't,
that bullet works. It shoot them on the ground. They shoot ducks on the water.
I spotted I spotted a really, really nice buck. Put the binoculars on him and let Doug look at him. And it was a really nice deer. He just laying there under a couple of oak trees. He's well beyond 250 yards. He's way off.
Perfect.
But we didn't pursue him.
That's a cheap shot with today's new rifles and scopes.
No, I know it. I just don't get enough practice at the hunting range with mine, and I got a relatively cheap scope. That's what's wrong with my .30-06. I need a someday or another.
That's one of the most important parts of your weapon.
It's the optics.
Yeah.
Right.
Barrel, optics, trigger. Those three.
Mm-hmm.
You got all those three, and they're very good in quality. You can be a shooter, man.
So Winchester Model 70, .30-06.
That's a good rifle.
I paid $175 for it at a pawn shop about 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
And I can't tell you how many deer I killed with that thing.
Yeah.
But it's a cannon.
That's a lifetime gun. It's
It is.
That rifle,
it's wooden stock, man.
Long.
It doesn't have. There's no recoil on it, I'll tell you that. There's a, it's like a wooden, it'll don't get your shoulder up next to anything, buddy, when you pull the trigger. I went from a 150 grain bullet down to a 125 grain, just dropped the size down of the bullet. But other than that, never even fired a shot. But and we didn't count but a handful of deer that weekend. We didn't stay. Like I said, I went home Sunday. We came on in. I wanted to see the Texans game. We got home before halftime.
They didn't play.
No avail on that.
Yeah, they didn't play. They played Thursday night.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Thursday night. Now, this weekend.
I caught myself doing the same thing. I watched the Thursday night game. We got beat, and it didn't dawn on me till. I went straight to CBS after I took my nap to get it on pregame, and I said, oh, man, the Texans lost Thursday night. They're not playing today.
Yeah. And they have a late game Sunday.
Yeah, we got another primetime
Sunday
game.
Night.
Sunday night, against Detroit. That one's good.
Come on. Well, 6-6-3 Detroit is better than 3-6, so they're coming on. They're doing a little bit better than they have. Let's see what else is going on down here besides the bull tides and the high tides. And it's, I can't do any yard work. It's just, can't get anything weed eated or mowed or nothing. Just the grass is all dying where the salt water's been standing up on it for a couple of weeks, and everything's turned yellow. Just an old sour smell, after the tides go out and after so many nights in a row of the ground being saturated, and they're just, it's like once that wind switched from the blowing like heck out of the north and northeast, and then it started laying back and switching around up the here come the bugs out of the marsh. The little mosquitoes started showing up, and it was just enough north wind or northwest wind to blow them out of the marshes, and it stacked them right here along the coast, buddy, and they were bad. really, really bad. But no, it's blowing pretty good already here this morning. I don't have any plans of doing anything today. My truck's been in the shop for a week or two now. They were waiting on it's a busted line, and they couldn't fabricate it, so they had to order the line. And it was supposed to have been in Wednesday, and I didn't hear anything. I'm going to call today.
A metal brake line rubber one?
Yes, sir.
Goes to Cali.
It's a metal brake line.
I mean, they ought to have those hanging up in my parts room everywhere.
He thought he would, but he didn't have it, so he had to order that one. The one, anyway. So I should hear. So I'm going to call today and find out because my phone's starting to ring, and I'm doing some fishing, man. I'm ready to go. Just hadn't been out there. Our condition of the water hadn't really looked that great. I've looked out across the bay and seen a few seagulls here and there, you know, trying to work. And it's kind of that time of year. You know, normally they start at one end of the bay and just migrate across. And you look out across there and find you a patch of birds. The only thing is, what I'm seeing people do wrong is go right up into the flock of birds and just think they can just, hey, man, the fish is right under them. You shut off about a quarter mile up from them and troll the rest of the way and let the wind and the trolling motor help you get up into them instead of motoring. Man, I watch these guys motor right into the middle of those birds, and then all of a sudden they start casting in all directions like the birds are gone and where'd the fish go? So
yeah,
it's not a very smart way.
You know, way back in the old days when the schools were as big as a football field, you could do that and get away with it.
And mm-hmm.
Now they're more like pods of fish, and you got to approach them way different than.
Boy, you do.
Ease in there with a trolling motor, and don't run it on wide open. You'll get them to run in or shut them down. You got to ease in there.
That's right. That's right. Because you're only fishing in 2 feet of water anyway. I mean, in these bays, and they're very spooky, very, very spooky. They didn't get to be that big to be stupid, you know. So
well,
I mean, you just
not
troll.
Like they don't get any pressure on them all the time.
Oh man, it's something else. Our fishery right now. You know, you can't get another pickup truck on the side of the road and all the ditches and stuff with people crabbing. I've never seen the like of people come out
crabbing's
of the woodwork.
Good this year. I'll vouch for that.
It must
be. Big. You know, I did that. Me and my buddies did it for about 2 weeks, you know, and man, that was incredible. They're big.
Y'all run some
traps. I'm talking 8, 9, 10 inches, man. Big boys.
Those are big old crabs. Big old blue pinchers.
Yeah. Monsters.
Man, that's nothing better than a big pot of those things.
You know, our catch rate was about half of what it was last year, but the crabs are twice as big as they were last year. You know,
how are y'all catching them?
Well, we just in crab traps.
Oh, okay.
You know, you're allowed six apiece. And
I didn't know.
You know,
how
with
it
a
was.
Recreational license, and yeah, we just go put them out in our, you know, working a ledge pattern, anywhere from 4 to 7 feet of water. And boy, they were just man,
nice
clean and real white,
man,
and pure,
oh man,
beautiful. But they started getting soft and losing their meat, and that's why we pulled up and said, "Well, we'll hit them again in November sometime." Do one.
You know, I've caught some crabs like that, Captain Minky, that didn't hardly have any meat in them.
Yeah,
and
they're going through a. I don't know anything about crabs. All I know is I love to eat them. And
yep, me too. Me too. We're not going to do anything. The bait camps and everybody's holding bait.
Everybody got good bait supplies, huh?
Good bait supplies, but just no business. I've talked to them, and things are real, real slow. Some of them are fixing to go into the winter hours, you know, instead of wasting the money to keep their doors open all day. They may close a little earlier or open a little later or something, but they're all fixing them. I see signs out in front of them, winter hours coming soon. So anyway, it's just slow, and that's okay. Come on, water temperature, get down there, and I'm ready to throw the soft plastics anyway. I'll see if I can go do that for a few months, and it ought to be good. But no, the boat ramps are all open all the way to San Luis Pass. I've already checked with everything, and even the ramp on Christmas Bay. Don't forget about that one at the old size bay camp. You can always launch there. Yeah, the ramp is still there. Now, when you go out into Christmas right there, the bay gets pretty shallow. You know, you just need to know which way you're going and get up on a plane, you know, right there in the ramp or something and scoot out across it. But these shallow bays this time of year, and then once we start getting our northers, it's going to blow more water out.
Jump up, and, trim up, and jack up, and turn her loose, baby.
get her gone. That's it.
All right, Hammer, give them a number. Somebody wants to run you down.
Yes, sir, and I appreciate it. 713-208-0683, man. Y'all have a great weekend. I appreciate you.
You do the same, Hammer. See you, man.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, you know, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, and you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. With a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery, there's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item or can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team has a combined experience of over 100 years. They're here to support you from start to finish, whether you're on a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Allied's got you covered. And remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales. Let them handle your next project, 281-332-6224, or sales@alliedinc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 419 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go check in with old Tommy Alexander. Tommy boy, I hope you're ready to talk this morning. You got plenty of time. We can cover it all, brother. Bob Green is missing in action.
He's MIA.
MIA, man. No text, no call, nothing. He didn't even write. He gone.
Didn't even write.
No.
MIA.
M.I.
Well, I'm here.
I can always depend on you. I know Tommy's going fishing. We'll pop him.
Yeah.
Hit him hard, hit him early.
Even when I don't, I usually still wake up when the phone rings for the most part.
Every now and then. I remember those years. Bob Stevenson, Pappy, you know, would call me.
Yeah.
I mean, straight up, you know, like 5 minutes till four. And I just reach over on the nightstand. Back then, we just had hard lines, and I just lay in bed and give my fishing report.
Yeah.
Bob, yeah, I mean, too.
The only time, you know, that it's hard for me is like if I'm at a tournament and don't have good signal somewhere.
Right.
That, you know, that sometimes would get hard on some of those deals, or it just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
Some of those places, like, man, that one place I stayed at on Livingston, I could text, but I could not call anybody. You couldn't talk. All you could do was text. And there's been a few places. Same with Toledo Bend. When I was at Toledo Bend where I stayed, same deal. I could text, but I couldn't. You couldn't make a call or accept one.
I'd go to Rayburn, I'd have to drive out on Powell Point and talk on the phone.
Yeah.
Just from my room, it wouldn't work. But I'd get my truck and drive down to Powell Point Marina and get on that point out there across the lake, and I could talk good.
Yeah.
Dead spots. Well, live spots.
Yeah.
I mean, the trees, you know. Oh, man, what a nightmare.
Yeah. A lot of deer leases, you know, you don't got good signal at places like that. But I'm here trying to see what the weather's going to be like. I guess it's all right today.
You got a lot of east in the wind. That's a little stiffer this morning. It's about 12 to 15 everywhere.
Well,
we're fishing. A river rat today.
Fishing today. I didn't fish the last 2 days. I just ran errands and kind of took care of junk. I don't know. I think I fished Tuesday, maybe. Monday or Tuesday. Heck, right. I can't remember. I know I was off the last 2 days, but I fished Tuesday, I think. And it was pretty good. You know, I did pretty good. Still same old kind of report that you've been getting over here. You know, it ain't hadn't a lot changed. Redfish guys are, you know, on and off catching them pretty good. Seems like they'll just smoke them one day and then they struggle the next, and that's kind of the same way we do it too.
Right.
The trout though have been pretty good. I mean, pretty decent for the most part. I can't complain.
That's
much
what I'm hearing. Trout.
Redfish, that's a different story. I can go look for them and I can catch six or eight real quick one day, and then I go the next day and I don't even catch one. It's just like they're moving so
yeah,
much.
They are.
I mean, I don't know. I just compared to the way it used to be, I just don't remember them moving. I don't remember them ever moving like they do now these days.
I think we had so many that they, you know, even if they were moving, another school would take their place.
And that might have been what it was.
Guarantee you that's what it was.
If you found them on a piece of shell or a point or like they were in a slough or bayou, you found them one day, the odds were pretty good that they'd be there again the next day.
Yeah.
You know, there would be a time, finally they would leave or you'd catch them all. But if odds were pretty good, you'd get them at least one more day. But, man, as far as the redfish go, I can't seem to do that. If I find them, if I find them now, it's like don't even go there the next day.
Yeah.
Because you know they ain't going to be there. It's weird. But trout, you know, I'm getting pretty consistent on them. You know, they seem like they're in more places than one place, you know.
Right.
You can catch them in more places than one place now, which is a big plus.
What's been your pattern? I mean, go to make sure you catch fish every time. Certain depths you're fishing, or certain baits you're throwing, or what?
Man, so I haven't seen like slicks or I don't even hardly look for that stuff anymore. I just don't see a lot of it.
I know. I'm going.
I mean,
do fish
when
even
I,
slick anymore? You know, and then if you get into them, good,
like
they'll
I
throw
just,
up. But yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I don't see it like I used to see it. I mean, we'll see it every now and then. They'll pop up and be like, oh, man, there's slicks everywhere over here. Mm-hmm. But it's not a common occurrence like it used to be. But I have been doing the same thing I kind of always do this time. You know, I just look for deep shell and I look for the bait. If you find the decent looking water with some bait on it and some shell, all three of those things, that's kind of been the pattern I've been going for.
Yeah, so if it looks fishy, fish it. That's what Hillman said.
Fishy, yeah. That's
you know, a good
way to
he's been coming over
it.
There a little bit, and he said, hey, man.
Oh, yeah,
it,
yeah.
It's not like at home. He said, you go over there, and you got some bait, and it looks fishy to you, you better stop and fish it because it's fishy. It's got fish in it.
Yeah. That's kind of what I've been doing is I've just been running around looking at, you know, you get to where I've got, I don't even know how many marks in my GPS. I've got hundreds of them now, you know. So it's like I just kind of get in an area. Yeah. I get in an area that I think that they're in or that they should be in this time of year, and then I just start looking around. And if I find a spot that looks fishy, like you said, with bait, water looks good, all the things go together, then typically you're going to catch some right now. And I've been throwing more paddle tails probably than anything else.
Right.
I've tried a little bit of all of it. I was catching them there for a while on the Coastal Brew straight tail.
Right.
That was doing pretty good for a little while. And then it seemed like they went more to a paddle tail. And I've been throwing, lately I've been throwing that, the burner shad, the down south burner shad.
That what seems color to be, is that?
Well, it's all different colors. It's actual bait. It's a style.
Oh, it's called burner shad. When you said that, I thought it was a color.
No, it's a down south burner shad. It's one of his different styles of baits that down south makes. But color wise, I can't say that there's a big difference, you know, in any of that. I mean, it seems like some days they'll want whites. It'll be, you know, we'll catch them on whites, and then the next day it'll be totally different, and we'll catch them on roach. So that's kind of that's just different day to day. It seems like day to day, you know, a lot of times I start with dark colors in the morning. And then I'll kind of move to lighter colors.
That's, you know, I know guys that they're good fishermen like we are, and they'll start out with light colors early and then go to darker later.
Yeah.
But I'm like you. I'll start out with dark. I like silhouette, especially if there's real low light conditions.
Yep. I usually, but I do know what you're saying. I had a good buddy of mine the other day, and he had a couple days in a row. He said that all he could catch them with was light colors right off the bat. And then when the sun came out, he said they got better on dark colors, like total opposite
right.
of what I normally do, you know. But typically I start with dark colors and then move to lights. But whites always work in Matagorda to me. I always throw whites. Whites will always get it done. And blacks. It's one extreme or the other, you know. They all have their time. But that burner shad's got, it's a smaller profile bait. It's just a smaller bait. And it's got a lot of wiggle. That tail on the burner shad does a lot more wiggle than the down south regular one does.
Right.
And I don't know. I think lately it seems like it's been working better. You ain't got to pop it or nothing. You just throw it out there. And that's what I've been telling customers. Throw it out, let it hit, count a couple seconds, and then
burn
just start
back.
Floating, reeling. Yeah, just
it's
start
a burner shad,
back.
Folks. You got to burn it back.
Yeah, burn it.
Burn it, man.
Just burn that sucker. And it will, it never, like some paddle tails, you know, there's some paddle tails that when you start really burning it, they'll just kind of quit.
Yeah.
This one won't. I mean, it wiggles no matter what you're doing. No, it don't matter.
Wiggles like a broken bag.
Yeah, it's slow, falling, burning. It always wiggles. It's got a pretty good tail on it.
Yeah, what's their slogan? Swims on the fall?
Yeah, swims on the fall.
Fall.
Yep. Yeah, because I guess he tested that. Well, there's some paddle tails that when you let it fall, that they don't paddle, they don't swim, they don't move, they just fall straight. But his pretty much, they wiggle all the time, brother. They're falling, going, no matter what you're doing. But that's what I've been doing, and then you can still, you know, you can still throw the cork with a long leader and a DOA or a voodoo shrimp or a gulp, any of that underneath the cork, that always works. That's always a go-to at Matagorda.
Gulp under a cork.
It's real hard to beat in Matagorda. It will work. I mean, it's just funny how good it works over here.
Yeah, it just depends on your crew, what kind of crew you got, how you rig them up, huh?
Yeah, how you rig them up. You know, it just all depends. Typically, if they don't have any rod and reels,
Yeah.
Then I'm gonna give them spinning rod and reels, and I'm gonna rig them a cork with a long leader, and go from there. I mean, sometimes you'll get them and they'll be pretty good, and you know they do whatever, but that's usually how I start it.
Coffee grinder.
And even when they're good, usually even the good fishermen, once they start throwing that cork a little bit, they start catching them. They'll keep throwing it because they worked. There ain't no doubt about that cork working. But once you find what area they're, what depth they're in, you just make your leader accordingly, and you're in the strike zone all the time. It's pretty hard to beat. I have not caught anything on top water in a few trips in a while.
That's what Charlie said. His old top water bite slowed up.
Yeah.
Didn't get anything to come in.
It did. It fizzled out. There for a while, I was catching them every trip. I mean, for a long time, every trip I was catching them on top water.
Yeah, there was about a two-week period there, everywhere. Everybody was just nuking them on top waters.
Yeah, I went. Over here, I went longer than that. I mean, it was 6 or 8 weeks there. I caught them pretty good. And I mean, out of the boat, 6 foot of water, you know, drifting. Yeah. They were just smoking it. But that fizzled out.
Man, when I had a lot of fish out my way in my backyard back in the day, man, August was an excellent top water month. You know, fishing in 7, 8, 9 feet of water, throwing top waters.
Yep. I remember back in the day that I don't do it anymore. But back in the day, we used to fish in the river. I remember catching them in 12, 15 foot deep water on top waters. They'd come up and eat it. And be 15 foot deep, and we're catching on top water.
Right.
But I don't seem to do that too much anymore. I don't maybe because I don't try it too. So I don't do that anymore. I remember one time, a long time ago, I don't even know, maybe 20 years ago, there was a guy down here named Don Wood. I don't even remember.
Yeah, him. I remember Don.
Yeah, he caught one.
Is he still
like
around?
Yeah, he doesn't guide anymore, but I think he still cleans reels and stuff like that. But he caught a trout, like a 9-pound trout in the river one time on a top water.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember old Ronnie Doomsnail and all them. They would, they'd catch some pigs in the river, you know, like on broken backs and top waters.
Yeah.
I mean, nuke them. Big boys.
Yeah.
Monsters.
Yeah, I've heard stories of buddies standing on piers.
Yeah.
Standing on piers and throwing out in the middle of the river 20 foot deep and catching on top water.
You never know.
Never know.
All right, Tommy. Nope. Don't wreck your truck or anything. Hang on. I'm going to take a break, and I'll be right back at you, my friend. Hang with me.
10-4.
All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Rusty Hook Lodge. And, folks, if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters. You can bring your friends, your clients. Let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything for you, from five-star lodging, skeet shooting, sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. And your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. And if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40, or they can even host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And tell them Captain Mickey sent you. And welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 438 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go talk some more with old Tommy Boy Alexander. All right, Tommy, we're back, my friend.
All right. All good.
All right, man.
Have you tried those Bates reels?
Yes. I like them so far, you know.
I'm going to try it today for the first time.
Jury's still out on them, but, you know, so far, so good.
I've heard mostly good. I've heard one or two little, you know, people that didn't like them.
Yeah.
But most of it's been good.
Well, so, I had to kind of get used to the, you know, that cage size, the real size itself, because I got a real big hand. And I wrap my old bear paw around that thing, and I said, man, look how small. And, I got used to it in a few casts. It's no big deal, but I like the way the drag sounds when it goes out. It does that little click.
I noticed it when I was playing with it.
I like it.
I haven't had a bait caster with a clicker like ever or a long time anyway.
It has just a little tick to it when the fish is taking your drag. That's pretty cool.
Lets everybody else
in the boat know, hey, he might have a big one on. His drag's going out because, you know, other reels, you can't hear it when somebody's drag's leaving.
Like I said, Chris down at Haney, he's got a couple of them. And he loves his. I don't know. Everybody, Chad down there, a bunch of people were telling me that they liked them.
What have you got, the salty hundo or just a straight hundo or what?
No, I got the salty hundo. I spooled it up yesterday and got it ready to roll. I'm going to try it today.
It's hard to believe that little reel can hold that much line.
Yeah, it did not look like it held very much.
I know, but it does.
I know. When I looked at it, I thought, it ain't going to hold a whole lot. And I started spooling it up last night. It did hold more than I thought. For sure.
Yeah.
But it feels good. I mean, on my rod and everything the way it feels, so I'm going to see how it casts.
The only thing is, you know, that drag system, you know, you can, you've got the outside adjustment. I just left mine the way it came from the factory on the inside on the spool where it's got a little place. It's got three different notches you can click to with that, like a little counterweight. You can click it with your thumbnail. I just left mine in the middle position or whatever it came on, and then just used my outside brake.
I've got it on like two
or something like that. But, they throw good. Throw real good.
I know that spool will spin forever. If you put it on zero and then just put...
Spin it and then hit the button, it'll spin forever.
For a long time. It keeps
Yes.
Definitely felt pretty smooth.
Yeah, you'll like it.
We're going to try it out today.
But I'm not going to go over heels and brag on anything till I've used it a while and see how it holds up, you know.
That's exactly right. I'm not going to go telling people anything anymore. I've done that before and got burned on it, but
here's the problem with these new reels. I mean, everybody has complaints, but they don't take care of their equipment. You got to take care of stuff, and you can't drag them through the surf in salty water, especially in baffin dunk one, and bring it home, just throw it in the corner, and next week pull it out and expect it to work properly.
And
another thing, people over oil everything on these reels, man. I mean, just one little drop of oil can go a long, long way, especially if you're using good, real thin grade oil.
I don't hardly oil mine at all.
No, I keep it on my level wine, for smoothness. And I notice these are sealed bearings in these, so you don't have to oil them.
Yeah, how long you been using them?
I don't know, about a month.
About a month.
But, the Pencil Fest I live on up here now, I hadn't had to really put them to any test. You know, a redfish, you can tell, the quality of them when you hook a good red and they take a drag out. Smooth, smooth drag.
Well,
I'm longing for the day when you set the hook on a trout and he takes a drag like a redfish, get on him.
Yeah.
Those big girl beatdowns.
Yeah. This summer when we had that, when we were talking about that topwater bite, I caught a few that were not giant trout, but 20 to 24 inch trout.
Mm-hmm.
But they were just, man, they were feisty this summer. They were tearing that, they'd smoke that topwater and they were all acrobatic and just crazy. They were feisty.
Tide Runners.
Some of the best. Yeah, that was some of the best fighting trout I had in a while, man. You catch one, it'd be 20 incher, you'd think it was 8 pounds.
Yeah, you'd think you had a good one on.
Yeah. But seemed like
that's them that surf trout, man. There's nothing fights better than those surf trout.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of theory of why they fight harder, but I don't really know the truth. But they
the environment they're in. It's Predator City.
Man, them things get lit up in the surf.
Yeah, they do.
Catch you about a 22, 23 inch trout in the surf.
Yep.
You'll know it. Yeah, I don't know. It looks like it's going to be east wind today.
That's what it's looking like so far. Let me check it again for you here. Bring it up and see what we got, man. Well, it looks a little lighter down your way than it does up here. We got a lot of 15, 13, 14 down your way. It's 5, 6, 8.
Really?
Yeah, the windiest spot down on your end is right there at Port O'Connor at the little jetties. It's 9 out of the east.
Huh.
But
that's unusual.
Yeah, it looks like at the harbor it's 8 out of the east, and then up by Sargent, there's not hardly any wind. So even down around Corpus, it's calm this morning, not too windy at all. Baffin's showing 11, but all up around Upper Laguna, it's 5 and 6.
I'll take it.
Yes, we will.
I'll take it. I'd like to get some cooler weather, man. I'm just, this kind of getting old. I mean, I went out yesterday afternoon. I was messing around, and it was like, I went to go to HEB. I jumped in my truck. I knew it was hot. I jumped in my truck, started driving. It said 94.
Yeah, it's been hotter on the high ground.
Yeah, it's,
you know, on the coast, it's been a little cooler, but it's unseasonably warm for November, but we'll be whining come January when everybody's freezing to death and trying to fish in that.
Well, the problem is we don't ever have any. We don't break ourselves in. You know, it goes from 90 to 40.
Yes. Body shot. You know,
yeah, if we'd get a little bit of a real fall and kind of get used to it a little bit, it'd be different. It'd be a little better.
Well, I figured we'd have a real fall this year because we really had a real spring. You know, it was a real spring this year. But, you know, before we hit summer, it didn't get hot for quite a while. But I don't know. That's a game we play, brother. Well, if somebody wants to come down and fish with you and play that game, how they get a hold of you, Tommy, give them some info, bud.
All right. On Facebook, under Tommy Alexander, best way is my phone. Shoot me a text or leave a message if I don't answer at 979-709-8242.
You got it, man. Tommy, have a good day. Catch him up. Good luck to you.
We're going to fish through Monday, I think, so we'll see how it goes.
All right, man. Tommy, have a good one. See you, man.
Later.
All right. That's Captain Tommy Alexander in Matagorda. Now we're going to go down to South Padre, check in with our good friend Captain Brian Barrera, see what he's up to. Good morning, Brian. How you doing, bud?
Morning, sir. How you doing today?
Oh, I couldn't be better.
Doing good. All right. I'm just starting to get up and move around and getting some things going, getting some coffee poured and getting to fish a little later today, 7 o'clock. I got my girlfriend's parents in town, so we're going to run out to the flats, try to catch some redfish and trout.
That'll work.
Yep, we'll see how it goes. We
Her
went
parents
on.
Like to fish? Well, probably do since she's such a fishaholic, you know.
Oh yeah, they. Well, especially the dad.
Mm-hmm.
The dad, sorry, coughed. The dad likes to fish. We went out and do all bunch of stuff. I mean, they come from the Houston area, so they like to go and do old school flounder fish and run and.
Right.
A bunch of stuff like that. He's got an offshore boat, too, so he goes offshore and whatnot. So
avid outdoorsman.
Yep. But we were just, cruising around. We've got, a bunch more family coming in today, and we wanted to cook some fish. So we went out and did a little mangrove snapper meat haul, so that way everybody could have a nice mangrove snapper dinner. We wore them out. Must have caught over 20 of them, easy. easy. Man. And like maybe just a little. It was like every cast for a while. So there's been this big school of mangroves that I found maybe 4 days ago.
Right.
5 days ago, and it was like a red ball of them about the size of a small car coming up to the surface. And we discovered them, catching them on topwaters.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, must have seen a huge school. We're just pitching topwaters, pitching jigs at them, keeping them fired up. And there were some 7-pounders in there, you know, 6-pounders, really big ones. And then a ton of, you know, 2-pounders also. And just we were lucky enough yesterday that I had a bucket of live shrimp. So once I saw him coming up to the surface chasing his bait that he was throwing out there, I started, you know, kind of chumming him up with live shrimp, throwing them out there to keep him there. And I just went to work. I had two guys working 3 rods. One guy would pull a fish in with a rod. I'd hand him around with another shrimp on it and just drop it back down, catch another one. And I worked my butt off for a while there.
You were busy, man.
you know, our 20 or 23 of them.
Right.
So that way we could have enough for the whole crew of 7 to eat at out at Sea Ranch restaurant. It's going to be awesome. They cook great food, so. That was cool, and then after we did that mangrove snapper thing, I mean, that was pretty. It's pretty unbelievable to see. I mean, we're inshore; we weren't offshore. You know, we were inshore, and we were right. About 17 feet of water, and to see the snapper come up like that and make a red ball on the surface is
that's cool.
Just some of the stuff, my old school stuff, my snapper friends used to say they when it was still good that they, you know, when the spots were still good, they used to see that. But super interesting, super neat. To see all that cool stuff and see them get fired up by just chasing a topwater lure, you know, and they be able to hook one and keep one hooked kind of in the water sitting there and keep all by the boat fired up. It was just
neat. Keep them going, yeah.
Yep, neat to do that. And after we did that, we went and started throwing some jigs and soft plastics. We were throwing I never tried it before, but I had a red jig head, and I was like, I'm going to try this red jig head for once. And we tried it, man. That thing was catching some fish. We did a red jig head with a 4-inch DOA shrimp, like a 3/8-ounce jig, just bottom bouncing it. And we stuck a few very nice snook doing that. A few really good ones in like the 25 to 31-inch range. And then we caught another nice snook throwing maybe about a 6-inch live mullet. We were trying to catch some mangroves underneath a boat dock, and a nice snook popped it. That was pretty cool. Good bonus, about a 31-inch fish. So we'll take a bonus snook whenever we can, you know, in the mangrove snapper spot. And then today we're going to be on the flats. So, you know, hopefully we get some good action like that. I've been hitting it pretty good for a couple of days. I went out to the flats the other day and did a bunch of trout, you know, just on jigs and popping corks, which is... You know, you're pretty basic drifting stuff there on that one. And the redfish, and I was talking to some friends, and they were having some trouble finding the redfish, so we went and chased some black drum, went and caught a ton of black drum, and seems to be a bunch of croaker hanging out biting in there, big ones, like, you know, 12, 13-inch croakers. So if we catch a really big one, I'll throw it in the box for them to eat, because those are actually pretty tasty.
Mm-hmm. And, that'll work, man.
Yeah, it's been all right. We've just been surviving. You know, Monday, Tuesday was canceled for me because we had, like, really crazy winds and, you know, rain and stuff. So Monday, Tuesday just got canceled. I mean, which made Wednesday, Thursday really hard because of that really big cold front that we had, which obviously it passed through y'all, too.
Yeah.
Probably a couple days
before. We didn't
get
much off of that like y'all did. I think y'all got more of it than we did, really. You know,
yeah, we were getting... Man, it was just blowing 30 right in our face.
That's what Blaine was telling
me
at his ranch.
It was crazy.
None of that.
And, I mean, you're a fisherman. You know very well post-cold front, bluebird skies, man.
Yeah.
That's tough. That's like my kryptonite is a post-cold front, bluebird skies. When it's blowing 30 the day before and the next day it's blowing like 4. And it's just beautiful out there. But
hey, old Jerry Crawley used to own one of the oldest bait camps on Trinity Bay, and Blaine and I used to run out of there back when we were, you know, young, and he used to laugh at us. We'd be putting in a northern, and he said, boys, You're supposed to fish before northers and after them, not during the middle of one. I said, y'all gonna be lucky to catch 10 fish today. And that's back when we had millions of them. He was right. It was tough.
Yeah. You see, me personally, I'd rather go and drift fish out there in that 20-mile-an-hour winds than during the middle of it than spend the next day sitting still in the four. But it depends, I guess, if you got wade fishermen or not, you know. But right. I had some clients, actually, an early morning sicko, my buddy Barry. He was in town and his wife, and we managed to save the day. Like I said, it was tough, but we caught some trout, a bunch of black drum, limits, and some golden croakers. So survived.
Well,
survived to fish another day, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens today, the rest of the week. You know, I didn't get to get after it too much, but I think I went out Saturday and caught some mangrove snapper too. And after we talked, and Friday I caught some nice redfish after we spoke on the phone.
Yeah,
I've been doing that, and it's kind of split my time between the ranch and stuff.
Yep. So. Well, I'll tell you, Blaine sent me a picture of a snake over 6 feet he killed yesterday. And had 16 buttons on it. They're out and moving.
Wow.
And I think Rodney, one of his guides down there, killed another one that was like 5.5 feet. And there's,
gosh.
They're on the move, buddy. They're moving around.
Boy, they're moving. That's pretty crazy. I'm going to make sure to keep my eyes peeled.
Cause where are you snake?
I got a little bit of ranch work coming out. Yep. I got some ranch work coming up, so. I'm going to be out there.
All right, Brian. Well, hey, if somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing Lower Laguna, how they get a hold of you?
Sure. A direct call would be the fastest way. Area code 956-755-9413. Also, you could visit the website, inshorefishingsouthpadre.com.
All right, my friend. Well, hey, it's always good talking to you, Brian. You have a good weekend. Have a good time with your folks today. Get after it.
Thank you, sir.
All right, buddy. See you.
I appreciate it. Goodbye.
All right. Thank you. All right. That's Captain Brian Barrera in South Padre. Time for a break. You listen to the Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.